thinking about this, it's been a lot of, in my mind, this is a real opportunity for spiritual growth through all this. We've all, whether we'll admit it or not, whether we know it or not, have conformed to habits. We've fell into just a way we do things continuously all the time. Everything's the same, blah, 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 blah. And I was thinking this is a real opportunity for us to grow spiritually. I was thinking about as mothers, we all have a mother. We all were born of a woman. It can't be denied. So in that thought, as we are separated from one another, as we are not gathering together as a local church, as we're at our homes, I thought it's a real opportunity for us to think about our individual relationship with God. When I think of Dave, I'd love to hear Dave preach. I'm so encouraged by his preaching, by his topics, by how God leads him and how he takes everything God gives him and shares it with us. And he's a leader, but he's led. I think all good leaders are to be led. And I'm meaning led by our Heavenly Father. So in that respect, as we're in our homes and separated from one another, we learn a lot about our families. We learn a lot about each other. But we got to realize that our relationship is with God through Jesus Christ. And it's not through Drift Run Church. It's not through Dave Long. It's not through this building that God has provided. I'm going to read a scripture here in just a minute. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to talk about what the real building, what the real house of God is. And things we went through, things we've learned about one another, being home so much, and this and that. And you see things about getting things done at home that you can't get done elsewhere because they're closed or what have you. Never let Debbie Burton cut your hair. She'll forget and take the attachment off, and she'll peel right down to the skin. So, and I'm sure all of you have stories or something that you've learned in your personal life. But the key to this sermon here today and what has been spoken to me is to help me to rely on the Word of God, to rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ for my salvation, and to rely on our Heavenly Father to provide everything that we need, to know that He is in control. Does anybody think that God doesn't know what's going on right now? Blow your horn if you think God doesn't know what's going on. Now, blow your horns if you think God is in control. Blow your horns if you think, yeah, there. There you go. Praise the Lord. That's throwing our hands in the air. God seen your heart when you touched that horn. Acknowledging Him that He is God and Creator of all things, that nothing takes Him by surprise, that He knows the amount of hairs on your head. That is the personal thing I'm trying to get established here this morning. The personal relationship with the Creator of all things in your personal life. Let's turn to chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 14 through 18. I won't be keeping us long, but this is a powerful message for us here today as we go through this time. They talk about getting ready to get things back and talking about the new normal, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But right now, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. It says, "Be not equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what path has he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Listen closely. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let us pray. Lord, we bow before you with your word open before us. We ask now, Lord, that you anoint every word that is spoken here this day. We ask you, bless and move upon each heart that is in the sound of this voice, Lord, that they'll receive the word that you have for us. We ask again, Lord, for your blessing on our pastor and his wife this day. We just lift them up to you. We ask for you to be with all those that are sick and grieved. We ask for those blessings on those that are less fortunate than us. We ask you to move upon the hearts of the unsaved this day as only you can. May you stir them one more time. I ask again, Lord, you get me out of the way here this morning. I ask for you to forgive my selfishness, forgive my arrogance, forgive my human being, Lord. And I ask for your guidance in these favors we ask in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to focus on verse 16, and it says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their people, and they shall be my people. So that's telling me whether, we call this the house of God, and it is in a physical sense. But the house of God is not there. The house of God is right here. And that's what the emphasis I want to make this day, are that it says that God will be his people. And key right here, it says, I will dwell in them and walk in them. He didn't say with them. He said in each and every one of us. So, to emphasize that, and my emphasis is the importance of church attendance, but it's more the importance of a personal relationship with God. You can be here and not have a personal relationship with God, but you can be there and have a personal relationship with God. Just because you come to church don't mean that you have a relationship. I hope everybody's understanding what I mean. So I'll read some more scriptures because we're going to talk about maybe Abraham a little bit. Let's turn to Galatians chapter. I'm going to read out of Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. And it says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's referring to the spiritual baptism, the born-again experience. Then there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I'm going back up to that word faith in verse 26. Now I heard a sermon a while back, and he talked about, said there's four levels of faith. First being no faith at all. And we see a lot of that in this world today, that have no faith in anything. They trust nothing. They just think everything's just a whim. And then, secondly, there is little faith. And you can think about what that means. Yeah, well, there might be, that kind of faith. It's not a real faith. It's not but it's little faith. And third is compensation faith. It's, I'll trust you if you do that. And how often I've seen people in the world today that say, well, if God will do this, then I'll do that. What kind of faith is that? Then there's the real faith. Then there's the faith we have on a personal level. Then there's the faith that we have that we trust God for each and everything in our lives. That we trust if the coronavirus would get me right now and it would be to my demise. You know where my faith is at? It's not in the government. It's not in physicians. It's in the Creator of all things. And if He does not choose to heal me on this earth, I'm going to heaven. That's real faith. I hope that y'all can understand what I'm talking about here. We got to have, we cannot put all of our faith in Drift Run Church. We cannot put all of our faith in Dave Long. We cannot put our faith in Jamie Burke. We cannot put our faith in our government. We cannot put our faith anywhere but God. That is real faith. All the other is insufficient faith. I hope that's where you're at here this morning. I hope you're learning that as we go through this time. Because we all think, well, we get up and go to work. Well, that's been disruptive. We all can go to the grocery store. Well, that's been disruptive. We can't be caught up in fretting over that. I believe today, and I hope that you will too, maybe by the sound of your horns, I hope that you have faith that God will supply every need that you have. Because He will. He will supply things. He showed me in my spiritual growth, many, many times it's like, wow, that wasn't the way I thought that would turn out. But it turned out the way God would have it. I thank Him for being a part of this local church. I thank Him for being who He is, for putting me where I'm at. And I hope you feel the same. And one more part here on this. We're talking about the seed of Abraham. Abraham was a man after God. Abraham's relationship with God was because of the faith that he had, because of the trust, because of the obedience that he showed. And when you have had the spiritual baptism, the born-again experience, when you've accepted that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come unto the Father except by Him, you are an heir as Abraham. And in closing, I'm going to read a little bit out of Hebrews. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 25. It says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where a remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God." And that's referring to Jesus. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Without wavering. Without wavering. We're going through a time now. Folks could waver. Let's not waver. "For He is faithful that promised." I trust the promises of God this day. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching." two things I want to talk about just for a minute. That verse, it says, by a new and living way. And you hear the statement, the new normal. When we come out of this, we'll be the new normal. And I think, we've had a new normal. What we had before this occurred, we thought was normal, but yet it wasn't the same as 10 years ago. And I thought more about that. What is normal? It is the day, it's when God created us back in the garden, right up to the point of sin. That was normal. That's the normal I'm looking for. This new normal, this next step we're going to have, it'll just be chaos just like it was before this coronavirus came. So think about that. Don't get caught up in what the world considers normal. Think about your personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's normal. That's God created normal. And one more topic, and then I'll be done. When we first started talking about not being able to have services, and it was one way or the other. Folks had their opinions this way and their opinions that way. But I thought about that verse right there, and what, talking about maybe our faith wasn't strong or whatever that might be. Well, there everybody is made different. But I was thinking about that forsaken. And I looked that word up in the Greek, the word forsaken. And it says, to leave behind or to desert. Now, I don't think when those that maybe didn't think we should gather, they did not desert Drift Run Church. They did not desert the family of God. We did not leave behind this. That forsaken is a intentional excuse. That is an intentional decision. I'm not going to church just because I don't want to go to church. That's forsaken. I'm not going to church because I'm uncomfortable with the coronavirus situation. I'm not forsaking it because I'd sure rather be there. I'd sure rather be shaking hands with my neighbors, my loved ones, my friends, and I'd sure love to be hugging. I tell you what, I got 100 hugs built up in me. And when this is turned loose, be ready, because Jamie's going to go on a hugging fest, and I hope to hug every one of you. Good. I hope you all feel the same, because I care abundantly about each one of you. Dave would say the same thing. I've learned. A guy told me one time, he said, a pastor, a real pastor that cares about his church, and that's our pastor, we have a gym. When you hurt, he hurts. He can't go to the extent of God and knowing every need. But when Dave knows you hurt, when I know you hurt, I hurt too. So, don't think for a minute that if you're not here because of the virus or whatever, don't think, and nobody should think you're forsaken church. Because if your heart, I know you'd want to be here. And if you don't, if you say, that's a good way not to go to church, that's forsaken. So, in closing, I hope that spoke to your heart. I hope that that will put emphasis, that will make you, on a personal level, seek God through Jesus Christ. Well, this is a personal thing, folks. I was talking to a good friend, a couple of me and Debbie's, for many years, and I was talking to the wife one day, and she had mentioned she'd like to go to church, but I said, well, come and go. Well, I'll go if you'll go. I said, ma'am, he won't be there when you stand before the Lord. It's an individual thing. It's between you and God. Drift Run, our local church here, man, it's a great place to come and worship. It's a great place to come and get encouragement. It's a great place to come and hear the Word of God spoken. But it's up to you and your personal relationship with God. And it's got to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. I think Sarah's got us a song.